Welcome to the Crossing Church Podcast, your weekly dose of sermon messages.
So I'd like to introduce Jenny to you. Jenny is a beautiful person. Maybe she'll tell you what she does. But I've just seen how God uses what Jenny does in the natural, and he's come and augmented it in such a beautiful way. And maybe she'll tell you a little bit about that. Jenny, thanks. Let's listen to you.
Hello, everyone. As you've heard, my name is Jenny, and I'm a trauma counselor. And it's come from a place of being in a lot of different, very difficult situations in my own life, and how God has restored me and given me the ability to actually take what happened to me and be able to help others to be free. So it's been a wonderful journey, not easy at times. But I trust today that as I teach what I've found so instrumental in my own life, that it will give you some keys to not only help with where you are at, but to help others that you come across. Thank you for having us, Brad. I appreciate it so much. I've loved it. And if I wasn't very connected to my own church, I would actually just quietly come and slip in here. Okay, so this weekend's been called Positioning the Prophetic. And, you know, when we position ourselves, we have to actually come into a place where we can receive. And that made me think of coffee. I mean, it's not hard for me to think of coffee. I love coffee. It's my best, you know. And who likes coffee? I'm in the right group, or you're in the right place. So we fellow mates here. You share my same passion. And so my children gave me a coffee filter machine for my birthday, and which, you know how it works. You put the coffee in the top, put the water in, and you put your little coffee pot underneath, and you switch it on, and it starts to gurgle, and there's a beautiful aroma starts filtering in, and your juices in your mouth start working, and you can already just imagine that in your mouth, isn't it so? So unless that coffee pot's there, what's going to happen? It's going to be a big mess. So what I want to do today is to try and help you to know how to position yourself under God and in His Spirit to be able to receive what God has for you. Are you happy to do that? Oh, great. So we're in the right group. Eh? So what I've discovered through all the teachings that I've heard is that we are in a body that houses a soul and has a spirit. So, you know what? I'm feeling like I'm doing this like that. Can you guys from the side come into the middle for me? Because just now I'm going to be having a seesaw effect here, and I'm going to get giddy just looking at you. And I'm sure you're going to get giddy trying to look at me. So, we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. And what we have to see is the function of each of these areas to be able to know how to actually work in those each area to be able to receive the full extent of what God has for us. So what I want to do is I want to ask for three very, what's the word I'm looking for? Guys that don't mind to stand up on front here on the stage. Aren't afraid of being exposed, and I want you to be my body, soul, and spirit, not mine, but for the purpose of this exercise. But before I do that, Nick, I just feel I have a word for you. When I see you, I see a big ear, you know? And I just feel that an ear is there to listen. And if you are, if I see you as a big ear, it means that God has going to give you and has given you the capacity to be able to really hear what people are saying. But to listen in such a way that people know that they've been heard. And the compassion that I see in you and the gentleness and the kindness and the love of God that I sense in your life is what they're going to feel as they listen, as you listen to them. And I feel that God's put a deposit of wisdom in your life. And that as you listen, you won't have to say much, but what you do say will be something that will give them the ability to actually go forward in the area that they're in and be able to take ground and feel encouraged, comforted, and exhorted, as we've been hearing about. But don't stress. Don't feel, you know, how do I do this? As you sit down in front of that person, and as God gives you that person that's there in front of you to listen to, he will give you what you need at that moment. So don't try and think, I've got to, you know, make this all happen. But I sense it's going to come from a place where you are hearing God for yourself. So as that intimacy between you and the Lord grows, so you will be able to give it from a place deep inside of you because you've been hearing the Lord for yourself. So as you win victories in your own life, you will help others in the same way that you've been helped to actually find the ability to go forward. Okay. Okay, so who's brave? Who's going to be a body and a soul and a spirit for me? Oh, look at that. But I've got to have three men or three women. Oh, sorry. Okay, so I've already got two. Yes, 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 yes. Come, come, come. I love this. Come and stand up here. Up here for me. Right up on the stage where they can all see you. Okay. So we're going to make you the spirit, and we're going to make you the soul, and you the body. All right. Is that okay? So I want you to put that over yourself, and I want you to put that around yourself. They didn't expect that. Oh, you also want something. What can I give you? Oh, okay, there we go. He looks like Jesus, doesn't he? Okay. All right, so can you stand behind? Can you stand in the middle? And can you stand in front? So you get to lead. You see how smart you are now. Okay, so just stand a bit closer. None, I promise you, they won't bite. Okay, so it's body. You're supposed to be the good one. What am I going to do here, hey? I don't know. I've chosen three naughtiest ones in the bunch here. Lord, help me, please. Give me some of Nick's wisdom. Okay, so there's body, soul, and spirit. Now, we think we've been led by the spirit a lot of times. And I want to just show you how subtly Satan can use our mind, our will, and our emotions, because that's what sits in the body, in the soul, to actually hijack us a lot of times. Now, the spirit area, as you know, is where the spirit of God dwells when we accept Jesus as our Savior. Our spirit is connected with the spirit of God, and we become one with him, as it were, and he says that he dwells within us. Isn't that wonderful? So the mind, the will, and the emotions is a very important part of our lives. And just because he's got a gray shawl on doesn't mean he's bad or ugly or anything else. But he just needs refining. I don't know if he knows it, but anyway, we're going to show him today that he's got to be refined in some ways. So now, what's your name?
Vulti.
Vulti has been to the prophetic weekend now, you see, and he is a bit tired. But he's been hearing that to get to be able to flow in the prophetic and unlock further things in his life and to be able to grow in the spiritual realm, he needs to have been intimate with God. And what does that mean? It means you have to get up a bit earlier and you need to spend time with the Lord. Is that right? Okay. But now he's gone home and he's watched movies. And he's watched movies until 1 o'clock. Because it was rather a good movie. You've seen quite a few of them. So now he's gone to sleep. Just go to sleep, please. The spirit doesn't sleep. I hope I can wake him up. So now he's fast asleep. Now he's set his alarm for 5 o'clock because he wants to have a really good quiet time with the Lord because he wants to grow in the prophetic and in the spiritual realm. So who knows how to make the sound of an alarm? Oh, yeah, okay. You're going to have to make it louder than that. Because he's fuss and he's slop. Okay, so you wake up, and he puts that alarm off. Yeah, do it, druk. Now the soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions, comes and whispers in his ear, in Wilty's ear, and he says, listen, mate, you're tired. Go back to sleep. You got to bed at 1 o'clock. You've got a heavy day today. Reset that alarm and go back to sleep. And the spirit goes along and whispers in his ear, listen, my son, I've got so much I want to share with you. There are people that need to hear from me what I want to share with you. So please, let me just get up that I can share with you. Okay, oh, you can go back. They're a very naughty spirit, this one. Can we just spend a moment to pray, please, for the spirit? So now, the mind, the will, and the emotions. So the will decides what's going to happen. Is that right? Okay, so the will says he's got to decide now. Is he going to get up or is he going to go back to sleep? You're tired. Okay, so now he's decided to go back to sleep. Wake up. Wake up. I'm not finished yet. So now, just stand in front of you. Now, can you see where he's been led by? By the mind, the will, and the emotions. Can you see that? Okay, so he has his day at work, and he actually gets through it, and that night he goes to bed early. And so he's asleep again. Okay, the alarm. I would kill that alarm if it sounded like it. So again now, he's got to decide, is he going to get up now or what? No, 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 this is, it's cold. You can't go, you can't get up yet. So the wills and the soul and the mind, I mean the mind, the will and the emotions is now whispering into his ear, listen, it's cold. Go back to sleep, man. You know, you had a bad night, you had a bad day, you still need your sleep. But the spirit comes along again and whispers, no, my boy, come on, you can do this, you can get up. I will enable you. I will give you the ability to get through today. I want to use you.
Oh, I want to wake up now.
Ooh, wow, you see that? So now, where's he been led by? By the Spirit. Can you see that? So what usually happens, just standing in the line, what usually happens is that the soul and the body, they get together. No, no, you don't link arms with him. They link arms and they leave the spirit out. And you don't even realize you're doing it. And that's called a carnal Christian. A Christian that's been led by the soul, by your emotions, by your thinking. So eventually, if you keep doing this, you can crush your spirit. Did you know that? In Proverbs it says, a crushed spirit, who can bear? So how do you crush a spirit? By constantly leaving the spirit out and being led by the soul area. Okay, before he gets a creak in his back. You can stand up again. Okay. So what I'm trying to show you here is that the Bible speaks about having your mind renewed. Okay. So there's nothing wrong with your mind. There's nothing wrong with thinking. There's nothing wrong in planning and actually allowing your mind to be active. But we need to learn to incorporate the Spirit. Incorporate the Spirit and say, what do you feel, Lord? I don't know about you, but when you've got a crisis, what happens is that when you've got a problem that you've got to think through, the soul rises up and says, oh, let's think this through. Let's decide what we need to do. We've got to make a plan. There must be a way around this problem. So you reason together and you think together and you come up with a solution. And if you're anything like me, you then go to God and pray and say, Lord, will you bless what I've just done and what I've just thought out? But have you actually asked God what he feels? Can you see that? So we stand in a line again for me, just over here. So we have to learn to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, what does that mean? It means that the mind still thinks in the old way of doing things. So we have to learn how to incorporate the Spirit into what we do. So I might feel, well, it's the right thing to do. Let me give you an example. A number of years ago, I was renting a flat in Kensington. And I'd stayed there for a while, and suddenly the lady who owned the flat became very ill. She's an elderly lady. She was in her 80s, and she was taken to hospital. And it seemed that she went from bad to worse. And her son came to see me and said, you need to go and look for another place to stay because we're going to sell this flat, and my mom's not going to be able to go back to her. She's too ill. So now my natural reaction would be to start looking at flats and looking for where to go and what to do. And I did start doing that, and nothing happened. I couldn't find anything, and it was very distressing. So then I thought, oh, I haven't prayed about it. Lord, what do I do here? So I started praying about it. And one morning in my quiet time, I was reading Psalm 23. And it's in the version that I was reading. Excuse me, I'm choking on my own spit just as well you're sitting over there because it might be a bit dangerous. I got in the translation that I had, it said, sit still and be quiet. And I thought, wow. So I'm not to run around and look for a place to stay. That's what it felt like to me. So you see, instead of the soul leading, I allowed the spirit to show me what to do. But I still have to use my will to decide which way I'm going to go. Will I believe what I've just read to be of the spirit and really what God's saying? Or will I go with what seems right in my head? So we have to test. And I had to say to the Lord, please confirm this for me. And I just got all kinds of words in all kinds of ways saying, be still. You know, so in, I thought, all right. And it was so hard because now I knew if I didn't do something and I'm supposed to, you can understand how awkward that would be. At the end of the week, the son phoned me and he said, Jen, my mom's made a wonderful recovery. And she says there is no ways that you're putting Jenny out of that flat. She's to stay where she is no matter what happens to me. Can you see what I'm trying to say? So it's very important to be able to learn how to change the way we do things, the way we think, the way we react, to be able to allow the Spirit to start leading us. Now, if you think of Simon Peter, this impetuous fisherman who said what he came out of his mouth, he didn't think straight always what he was saying in the impact, and he offended people, but yet he loved God deeply. And it's if you read about it, it says that they went fishing and they were at the Sea of Galilee and they had been fishing all night, no catch. So coming back in and Jesus comes up to them and says, put your nets on the other side, and you know the story, they had this massive catch. And he's on the basis in the back of that, he says, come follow me. And they left their nets and followed him. Then Jesus prophesies. In the event of the time that he's known Peter, he prophesies over him and he says, one day you will be led. People will tie your hands and you will be led to a place you do not want to be. And you know the famous one, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. And at the Last Supper, Jesus speaks and says, I'm going to be arrested and you are going to be scattered. And Peter says, no ways, Lord. There's no ways that that's going to happen. I will die for you. And that's when he says, before the cock crows, you will deny me. So Peter had been used to walking in the soul area where he just says whatever comes along. He didn't know how to incorporate the spirit area. So what we need to see is that Jesus prophesied over him. He already knew that he was going to make a mess. He already knew that he was going to betray him. He already knew that all about Peter's life, but he still said, come follow me. And you see, this is often how we feel. We feel that I've made a mess. I didn't say the right thing. I didn't do the right thing. If only I hadn't done this. If people knew who I really was and I prophesied, they're going to come back and say, how can you say that? I know what you did and I know what you said. But I feel that the Lord says he knows about you, but he's bigger than any place that you've ever messed up or caused yourself to feel that you don't qualify. Because you see, somewhere along the line, we feel Because of the way we were treated at school, the way we were spoken to by our parents, the mistakes that we make, we sometimes feel that we don't make it. And we actually feel disqualified. Where do we feel disqualified? In our soul area, in our mind, our will, and our emotions. Because it's in our mind that the enemy comes and reminds us of all the things we've done wrong. So every time we get up to prophesy, every time we get up to speak, every time we get up to do anything, he says, yeah, but in 1963, do you remember what you did there? I mean, some of you weren't even born then, but anyway, for those of you who were. And it feels like it's just happened. Because you see, there's a part of our brain that doesn't know time. It stores information, and when something comes up and we look around inside ourselves, we think, oh, am I qualified to do this? Am I able to do this? Should I be doing this? That event that caused us to feel disqualified feels like it's just happening. So there is no time. It doesn't understand time. And so what's happening here is the soul is leading, isn't it? Just stand behind you, please. So the soul is leading, saying, "You are disqualified. You're not able to do this, and you're not fit for this." So when Zach gets up and says, "Will you please bring a word? Will you want to bring a word?" No, you won't. Say, "You feel, who am I? Everybody else here qualifies, but not me." But what I want you to see is that the Bible says that all our righteousness is as filthy rags. So no matter whether you messed up or didn't mess up is not the issue. The issue is that Jesus says who you are. And what I had done, I had put God in a box. And I had decided that I didn't qualify. Whereas I had to stop and allow myself to listen to what the Spirit was saying, that I do qualify. So I had to swap what I was feeling for what the Spirit was saying. And actually, so it's Jesus' righteousness that comes and qualifies us. Just hold this over. It's cozy, eh? So where's the disqualification now? Can you see it? What is it covered by? By the Lord's righteousness, not your own. Thank you very much. Didn't they do well? Let's give them a hand. Thank you so much. Yes, thank you. You can just take it down there. I think I'm going to take them with me wherever I go. They're quite nice. So it says in Colossians 1 verse 4, the leaning of your entire human personality on him is in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. So you see, where's the personality is saying, everything I am, everything I know myself to be, I have to put that aside and listen to who God's saying I am, but then leaning on his strength, on his ability, on his power, and on his qualification of me to say, it's not me, but Jesus that's doing it through me. And we've all heard this before. It's not anything new. But I think just seeing how we get led and why we keep falling into the same place again and again and again. I felt like I was taking one step forward and 10 steps back. That I was going around in the circle and I didn't know why. I didn't know how to get out of this hole of actually being seeing my life change and seeing my life being different. When you've been rejected a time and time and time again, we don't know anything else. Our whole frame of reference is one of rejection, is one of feeling disqualified, of feeling not good enough. And that's what Satan wants to do. You know, in John 13 verse 2, in the Amplified Version and in the Old King James, it says, and Satan placed the thought into Judas Iscariot's mind to betray Jesus. Did he betray Jesus? Can you see how powerful those thoughts are? But I didn't know that Satan placed thoughts into my head. I thought it's just my own thoughts because he speaks in the first person. And it makes it feel like you are saying those things about yourself. And because it's been true at one stage, we agree and we don't look at the rest of the lie that he puts on there, and we forget that Jesus says that he qualifies us. We are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And in Colossians 1:12, verse 12, it says that he qualifies us. Now, whose voice are you going to listen to? The Spirit's voice or the soul's voice? Now, in John 8, it speaks about Satan being the father of lies. And his native language is lies. Now, we have different people in this room, and we all speak different languages, don't we? English, Afrikaans, Xhosa, Zulu, whatever it might be. But Satan's language is lies. And so we've got two fathers that can speak to us, the father of lies or God the Father. Now, the father of lies, it will always be condemning, breaking you down, reminding you of your weaknesses, causing you to feel like you're a failure because you never feel like you qualify. The father of lies is a soft voice, but he comes to, Father God's voice. Thanks so much. That's why you're here. You see, keep me on track. And his voice is gentle. And he says, come on, I've changed you. And even if you don't feel changed, you are. Because you see, we will never feel good enough. We will never feel qualified. Because that's our soul area. The spirit is where the life is, not the soul area. So when I stand up to teach or to prophesy, I don't feel holy. I don't feel qualified. But it's not what it's about. And often that's where we fall down. Now, we become Christians, and in, trying to think where it is, in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 it says, the old has gone and the new has come. Now, you know that feeling, and you know your thoughts, and you know those things where you fall down and those areas where you battle with, and you think, well, when that changes, when I've got victory in that area, then I'll know I'm saved. Then I'll know I'm good enough. Then I'll know that God has actually seen who I am, and then I can be used of God. But until that changes, I can't be used by God. Now, we haven't said that out aloud. We might not even know that we're thinking it. But if you think about it, that's exactly what Satan uses to keep us in that spot. And where are we being led by then? By the soul. Because our mind, our will, and our emotions. So we don't feel qualified, so we don't do anything. And we don't expect to be used by God. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Okay. And what we saw last night was all those pots being broken. And it's old ways of seeing things, old ways of reacting, old ways of working. And God wants to smash this over this weekend. I saw medicine bottles being, the lids being capped off and the cotton wool being taken out. And God wants to bring release and he wants to bring healing. He wants to break mindsets that are not of him. He wants to set you free to be able to see that you are more than you think you are. And it's not about thinking. And so your body might be weak. You might not even be educated in any way. But who was Simon Peter? He was a fisherman. And it says when the little girl confronted him and said, you know, I know that you are part of Jesus, he denied it and he swore. Did you know that he swore? So he completely blew it. And yet we see later on that again they go out fishing because he goes back to what he knows. And often that's what happens. When we feel disqualified, we go back to our default setting. And, oh, this stuff doesn't work and God doesn't really love me. And it's the same old, same old. Everybody else gets it right, but not me. I don't get used by God. I don't this, I don't the other. And so we go back to feeling very rejected and very left out. And we compare ourselves to others, and you will always come short when you compare yourself. Always. So he goes back to fishing, and a lot of the disciples go with him, and they fish, and again, nothing. And Jesus has risen, and he goes to where they are, looks for them, finds them, and makes them a breakfast on the beach. And then they're coming back, and no fish. So he says, cast your nets onto the other side, like you did before. And Simon looks up, and he thinks, I've heard this somewhere. Anyway, he didn't listen to his soul. He listened to what Jesus said. And again, a big catch. And he turns to the disciples. He says, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And, you know, now he jumps into the water and starts swimming to shore. But before he jumps in the water, he actually puts his coat on or his cloak on. I mean, he got so excited and so amazed at Jesus being here that he actually did all the wrong things. You know what I mean? He should have left his cloak off, but he put it back on. And we can get flustered. We can get overwhelmed. We can feel, oh, and get stutter and stammer and make all the wrong things. But it doesn't matter. You keep swimming. You get onto that shore and you have breakfast with Jesus. Because he wants to have a feast with every one of you. He loves you so much. But you've got to let him in. You've got to take those boxes or those pops things, the lids, take them off like we saw last night. And let him smash the way you have seen yourself. The way you expect him to use you or not expect him to use you. Because unless you do, you are going to go around in circles and make a big groove in this big mountain that you're going around again and again and again. And you will become discouraged and you will become overwhelmed because you're doing it in your own strength and you've been led by what you feel rather than what God is saying. Is this easy? No. But if you want change, this is how you change. I had to come to that place one day and I had to stop and say, oh Lord, I'm so tired of being in this place. I hated myself. I hated life. I was overwhelmed by everything. I couldn't speak to anybody. I had no confidence. I'm not saying I've arrived, but I'm much further forward than what I was many years ago. You know what I'm saying? And you take those steps and you take it in faith and it feels all wrong. But you know what? I'd rather take those steps than stay where I am and be hammered by Satan. Honor God's love for you. Honor what he did on the cross for you. And let his spirit rise up and actually do in you what he died on the cross to actually make happen. We have got nothing in us that qualifies us, as I've said before. And we look at that and we feel, well, I've got nothing to take me on. What qualifies me against everybody else in this room to make me be able to be used? It's not about that. Obedience is what it's about. It's obedience. Obedience is what's going to change your life. And if God changes your life, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You know, and he does a good job, a wonderful job. And he changes our life in a way that we can't believe this is actually who I am and what God is doing through me. You know what I'm saying? So let him remake you, as it were. Well, it's all there, but to actually stand up and allow it to start being visible. So don't look for God's hand. Believe that it's there. It's a spiritual thing, and allow the Spirit to be able to lead you. So you might be stuck somewhere. There might have been a time when you tried to step out and it just didn't work and it was a big flop in your own eyes. And Satan has kept you bound in that place. There's an amazing scripture that I just want to read quickly. And it's based on, it comes originally from Isaiah 61. But this is Jesus talking. And it's Luke 4:18, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce release from the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed. Now listen to this part, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. If you fit into that today, God wants you to know that he's come to set you free. He's come to release you from that place, and he wants to heal that place where you feel disqualified. So if we can just pray, if you can close your eyes. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And I want you to just indicate, if you feel disqualified, if you could just raise your hand so that we can pray for you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Bless you. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. So what I want to do now is I want to say, Father, thank you that you know where we're at. You can put your hands down. You know where we are at. You know what we are feeling. You know what's caught us and what's kept us there. That the images and the feelings that we receive from others has caused us to feel disqualified. And Lord, we've given them power over our life. We've said that their words, their actions, and their rejecting of us is more powerful than who you say I am. Lord, and today, join with me in this. I repent, Lord. I repent of this in Jesus' name. And I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for being allowing my mind, my will, and my emotions to dictate who I am. And Lord, I ask you now to teach me how to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, to allow your spirit to be the one that leads me, to not be a carnal Christian any longer, but to incorporate your spirit into the things that I do. Teach me, remind me, help me. Help me. I want to lift off self-condemnation of every one of those of you who are needing this today. Father, I give you the self-rejection. I'll give you the self-condemnation. And I give you this the self-loathing and self-rejection, and I ask you to lift it off us now in the name of Jesus. Release it to him now in Jesus' name. And I want you to forgive those people who put you in this box, who caused you to be in this cage. I want you to forgive them now in Jesus' name. Will you do that? Do they deserve it? No. But you don't deserve to be chained to them and to the events that caused this. I want you to know that Jesus wants to lead you out of this place. But the first step is forgiveness. Maybe you need to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself for failing. Forgive yourself for just not being, if you've never accepted yourself, I ask you to repent of that. Just do business with the Lord. Just do business with the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And now I want those of you who put your hands up to be very brave and to stand, because we want to pray for you. We want to pull all that up. We've been pulling stuff out of you now, but we want to pray healing into those areas where you've been hurt, areas where you've been flattened, areas where you've been pushed into a box and you've hated it. You've been marginalized. You've felt you've been pushed into a corner, and it's time to get out. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. God has a destiny for you beyond what people have said, beyond what you've experienced. Let your soul lead now. Spirit lead now. Should I say, don't let the soul dictate. So as we've been standing now, will you come to the front? We want to pray for you. You are so brave. I'm so proud of you. Bless you. So hallelujah. So as you come, and we just know that God loves you and that he cares for you and that he's a purpose and a plan for your life. And today's the first day of many new things in you. So for those who haven't come up, well, those of you who are sitting and you have a word or a scripture or whatever, come forward and come and stand and pray for those that are in the front here now. Thank you.
I just want to augment what Jenny's saying. This weekend is about you stepping into that space of allowing God to work and speak through you. So if you're in a seat right now, come on up. Come stand with one of the guys in the front here, and let's allow God to work through us. Let's exercise what we've been hearing in the morning. It's all part of taking the next step. So please come on up. Just come stand with the team guys that are here. You can also come join us. Come and share with them the very thing that God puts on your heart as you just join them and stand and believe for God to speak fresh identity over them. Please come and join us.
Thanks, Carol. So, Lord, can you just stand, the team, can you just stand and pray for, put your hands on people and just try and get a word or a scripture for them. And I'm going to pray a general prayer. And then we're going to just let those who have come up to actually minister to you. And expect God to use you. Expect God to give you a word. You're not here by mistake. And you are just as qualified as any one of us because the Lord's Spirit is in you. You have such a calling on your life. God has got so much for you. Don't be afraid of the future. Don't be afraid that God will not use you. He loves you so much. And what you've been through, He will use for good. And what you've been through, you will help others to be able to be to actually take ground as well because you'll understand. So, Lord, I just pray. What's your name?
Miller.
I just pray for Miller right now. Father, I thank you for his heart. Oh, there's such an anointing in you. Thank you, Father, for this man, and thank you for his heart. Thank you for the fact, Lord, that you love him so much. And thank you, Lord, that he's not disqualified. Thank you that you care for him so much, Father, and that you he has a heart of David. And that, Lord, even though he doesn't feel it at times, Lord, I pray that you will strengthen his heart, that you will strengthen his spirit, that you will strengthen his resolve in you, that, Lord Jesus, that he will just soar like wings of eagles in you and in his walk with you. Thank you, Father. And, Lord, I just pray for everybody here today. I just ask, Lord Jesus, that you will take this time now to actually in their own lives see that they can be changed. See them being set free. I want you to take off those garments of shame, those garments of feeling inadequate, those garments of feeling that you are no good, that you are never going to qualify, that you are useless and pathetic. No matter what area you failed in, God is bigger than that. And he doesn't allow you to fail for you to be a failure. He allows you to wants you to see that in the very place that you failed, he wants to show himself big on your behalf. Because it's in those places where you couldn't make it happen that he will show that he is bigger than that. And that he does allow you to be qualified. And that he can do it where you have never been able to do it. So it's make that big step in your heart. Take that step forward and say, Lord, I believe you. Forgive me for putting you in a box, for seeing you and saying, this is who I am. It's not who you say. It's like children that answer back. Forgive me for answering back, Lord, and decline what you said. I release that off me now. I break all curses off these folk and word curses that I've spoken over myself. And I release them now in the name of Jesus.
So if you came up from your chair and you're standing behind somebody who's come up for prayer, step into the space and share what God has over them. We're going to be quiet and give you that opportunity now.
Are you having fun yet? I love it when God's busy. So how many of you have had some really, really life-changing moments? And please don't try and flatter anyone by putting your hand up. I really want to know how many of you have had a life-altering, life-changing moment, either in you giving and or receiving words? Isn't that amazing that we're halfway into today and most of us have had more prophetic words over us today than we've had our whole Christian lives, possibly, or this whole year, definitely. And we have prophesied over more people than what we've prophesied over this whole year, potentially. But friends, it's so simple and so easy if we allow God to do that. How many have been deeply, deeply touched today by the Holy Spirit? Isn't it amazing? The Holy Spirit does that through the gift of prophecy. It opens stuff up. Now, I want to say this just before we get into some of the other things that we're doing today, is that prophecy very, very seldom will stand alone. It is something that we call a coupling gift. So prophecy will pull other gifts into the context. For example, words of knowledge and prophecy. Prophecy and healing. Prophecy and many other things. So prophecy often will open up the space for another gift to come through, which means that prophecy might be the most essential thing for your life, even though you might not be a prophetic voice or a prophet or whatever. Because what prophecy does, it'll unlock the other gifts that are there so that you can run with those gifts. And I want you to really allow God to use this gift to unlock not only what's in you, but in others. Because that's what prophecy does. Prophecy speaks into something of God's preferred pattern. Healing is a very, very natural outworking of prophecy, whether it's spiritual, physical, or emotional. Healing comes because we suddenly see what God sees, and therefore we can adjust ourselves and allow the Spirit to bring the adjustment. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? And I'm trusting that as much as we've already had some wonderful healings, I'm hoping that there will even be some more into the remainder of the day.